Well, good morning. It's so good to see all the smiling faces in the morning. Okay, come on, y'all can do better than that. Smiling faces. Because we should be happy.
Oh, yes.
Because God is our Father. We should be happy. We should all the time be giving him praise and glory. You know, the word says that we should be joyful no matter what's going on in our lives. We should be joyful because we know him. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, you know, last Sunday was Father's Day, as Reverend Young was sharing with us some of the things that he went on. That happened to occur to him. And, you know, for me, Father's Day was a great thing. You know, I got to hear from all my children. You know, one by one, they either called or they texted me. Mm-hmm. But I got one text that was really had me stopped, and I'll share with you. Y'all know me. I'm a very emotional person. And my youngest son wrote this. He says, "Happy Father's Day, Daddy. Thank you for being the man I needed. I love you." And after I stopped crying, I began to think, was I really the best man, the best father that I could have been? It was a time of reflection. Was I really the best that I could have been when it came to being a father, when it came to being a mentor? And I had to be truthful with myself. You know, y'all have those reflection moments, right? Okay, I'm the only one that has those reflection moments. Okay. I'll readily say it. But, you know, I started to look in the mirror into my past, and I have to tell you, I really didn't like what I saw.
Amen.
I'm just being truthful. I didn't like what I saw.
Amen.
I saw a self-centered man that only looked out for himself.
Yes.
I saw a man that took from people anything that would help elevate him mm-hmm. to a higher place.
Yes.
You know, I have to be truthful. I was a workaholic and much, much more. Mm-hmm. I'm only being for real.
Yes.
As some folks say, I'm being transparent with you. Mm-hmm. It's me, okay? Sometimes we got to look in the mirror. And as I was doing that, I was thinking, you know, remembering one summer day that I was on my way to the county fair with my sons. Now, some of you know I was a paramedic supervisor. So I had the supervisor car, and we were on our way to the fair and everything. And a call came over the radio for a police chase and ended in a bad accident. I was close to the ambulance base, and even though I had my sons in the car, I pulled into the ambulance base and told them I'd be back. And as my middle son got out the car, he looked at me and says, "Dad, how come it's always us that have to give up our time with you?" Mm. It made me stop and think. Mm-hmm. But I had already said I was responding to the call. But on the way to the call, I'm like, really? In the back of my mind, I'm like, I had to ask myself, was I really that bad of a father to put others ahead of my children? You know, the problem was that I really wasn't the primary supervisor that day. I just happened to be there listening to and was able to respond. And I was asking myself, what am I doing? Just as a side note, we did make it to the fair that day. You know, we got all the injured taken care of, and we got all the reports done. And so we were 2 hours later getting to the fair, but it was still stuck in my mind. Was I being the best father I could be? Or was I sacrificing their time with me to help others? Sometimes we have to do that. But not all the time. And it made me think, and to this day, I still think that's what changed me from being the workaholic that I was.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
that one moment stopped me so that I stopped working 16-hour shifts 7 days a week.
Woo!
I started spending time with the children. Mm-hmm. You know, I look, and it's like, what are we going to do? So I had to change my habits. Mm-hmm. Looking in the mirror, I realized that, yes, I really was that bad. But you know what? God had a plan for me. It took a few years. Did I say a few years? It took more than a few years. But God finally got my attention, and after I finally repented, God changed me. Just as you read in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Yes, I was a new creation. So why look in the past if I was a new creation? I need you to turn the volume up on Proclaim. Watch this clip from The Lion King.
What was that? The weather. Very peculiar, don't you think?
Yeah. Looks like the winds are changing.
Change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah, you see? So what are you going to do?
Well, that was a classic movie. And as you notice, Rafiki was the wise ape that teaches the young lion Simba about the past. The past the young lion was trying to forget. In a poignant scene, Rafiki sneaks up on Simba and uses his staff to hit him in the head. Simba rubs his head and complains, to which Rafiki wearily responds and says, that hurt doesn't matter. It's in the past. Simba, still rubbing his head, responds, yeah, but you know what? It still hurts. And then Rafiki goes on and explains that while it's in the past and it can't hurt, the lion can either run from it or face it and learn from it. Mm-hmm. You see, that's why we need to look in the mirror sometime. Mm-hmm. Yes, as believers, we are a new creation in Christ. You know what? Let me stop for a minute, as I mentioned earlier, about repenting. But what does that really mean? Well, if you were in Tuesday night Bible study in my class, you would know that repentance is a change of mind that results in a life change. A change of mind, your mind, that will change your life. Anybody here believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. But why revisit our past when in most cases it can cause us so much pain? Okay, I'm only talking about me.
Yes.
Okay, the title of our message today is, I Looked in the Mirror. Our scripture is taken from Philippians 3, 12, and 14. And it's just a couple verses, but I want to spend some time walking through these scriptures to see why we need to look in the mirror from time to time. Anybody, any of you looked in the mirror lately? Besides looking at that beautiful, wonderful creation God made, but you look beyond that into something. Praise the Lord. You see, there's several reasons why we need to look in the mirror. And I just got four of them, but there's probably more. Okay? So let's look at them. But first, let's look at the scripture. Scripture says, Philippians 12 through 14 says, not that I have already obtained, nor am I already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you've got your Bibles open, you might want to underline that, highlight it, whatever. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So why look at the past if it's hurtful and it reminds us of things that we don't want to be reminded of? Well, first we have to access the past. We're going to walk through the scripture. We're going to access the past in verse 12. Okay? It says, before an architect begins a blueprint, he goes out and he inspects the property.
Yes.
Assessing the environmental factors that could enter either enhance or restrict his final design. Before Paul could move forward, he had to see where he had been to determine where he was. His life was in the process, not in the completion. He knew he had more to do. You see, he had to go back and look in the past and say, you know what? I could have done a whole lot of things differently.
Yes, yes, yes.
You see, I have to share with you, growing up, many of the wise people that I listened to, and there were a couple of wise people I listened to, not many, but a couple. I'm being transparent today. They always stated this one simple fact. And it's this. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Yes.
So you can choose whether you remember it and change it or go through the process again. You see, the problem is that the human population has what I call short-term memory. We are constantly forgetting our past. Mostly the bad things, we like to forget those, the things like the disobedience of our father and the results of the hatred towards others. And even the recent events like the 2008 housing crisis that made many banks billions in profit while so many people lost their homes. Oh yeah, we like to forget that. That was a painful time. You know, but we can even look back a little bit further. I know none of you were around in these times, but we can look at it. You see, we can even look back as far as the children of Israel and look at their journey through the desert. You think they would have learned and remembered, but they chose to forget their past, even as they spent 70 years in captivity. It's the same thing that we do today.
Yes.
We don't want to look at the past because it's ugly. But we can't look forward until we remember what's behind us.
Yes.
The second thing is we look and we say, we should forget the past. Some folks say, and I've heard it say from many pulpits, stop looking at the past. Stop. Forget the past. Let me tell you something. As we just learned, if we don't remember the past, we're bound to repeat it. But basically, biblically speaking, to forget means no longer to have influence or be affected by your past. It doesn't say totally forget it. It says that you're not supposed to be influenced by it. But it's your choice. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the greatest writers in the scriptures, you know that book that we all walk around with? Some of us call it the Bible, some call it our sword. The greatest writer in there was a young man named Paul. Mm-hmm. Now, some of y'all might remember his name as Saul. Saul was not a nice person. See, Saul had this thing of that if you called yourself a follower of Christ, he only had one message for you, and that was you had to die.
Yes. Yes.
And he led the massacre of many believers. Mm-hmm. But if we think about that, even his past did not stop him from being used by God.
Yes.
You see, when God wants us to do something, regardless of what our past may be, what did the scripture say? We become a new creation in him.
Yes.
Old things have passed away. Doesn't say that we're supposed to forget them. It says they've passed away. They no longer influence us.
Yes.
And if the things that Paul did not condemn him, I know the things that I did not condemn me. You see, I serve a forgiving Father.
Yes.
A Father who loves me despite me. I'm just preaching to myself today. That's okay.
Yes.
Y'all welcome to listen, but I'm preaching to me today. You see, the third thing that about looking in the past is we learn from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in here look back and said, "Ooh, I won't do that again."
Oh, yes.
You see, think about this comment. It says, "One thing I should do, but 40 things I dabble at." One thing I should do, but these 40 things I dabble at. Those 40 things are distractions.
Yes.
Paul would not allow for distractions. His past was a distraction, but it did not form his future. Yes, he did all those things, and he readily admitted, yes, I'm the same man. But he did not let it distract him. Paul was single-minded in his pursuit that came from learning from his past. Single-minded. That means that he was focused on only one thing. Anybody tell me what that one thing was? It was serving the Lord. That was his main focus. Everything else was a distraction. The key to learning from our past is discovering your one thing. And once discovered, pursue it with a single-minded devotion. Stop paying attention to the distractions in your life and focus on the one thing.
Yes.
Focus on the one command that stands above all others. And it's found throughout the scriptures. That one command. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and a great command.
Yes.
And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, folks, if you just focus on that and stop letting the distractions of life get in your way, you can be used by God.
Yes.
The distractions. Listen, Satan knows everything that can distract you.
Yes. Ooh, yes.
Anything. The TV don't work right. Mm-hmm. The car won't start. Mm-hmm. I can't find the right dress to put on or the right shirt that I wanted to wear. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have enough money in the bank to get where I need to go, or I don't have enough money that I can put in the tithing box, and I don't have. They are all distractions.
Yeah.
You're walking down the street and you see somebody and say, "Ooh, I don't like that dress. That dress is ugly." It's a distraction. Mm-hmm. But you should be saying, "Ooh, look at that beautiful creation of God." Mm-hmm. Let God use you. You are His new creation. Stop being distracted, because we're too easily distracted.
Amen.
In verse 14 of chapter 3, the word goal, this goal that they're talking about, the word specifically refers to a marker at the end of a race on which a runner intently fixes their eyes. You ever run and watch a race? How many of you ever watched a race? How many of you have ever seen the guy running and he's busy doing this? He walking where the guy is. He's not. Where's his focus at? His focus is that finish line. Where should our focus be?
The finish line.
Hallelujah. You see, it's like in the picture. The runner is focused straight ahead. Every one of them is looking ahead. They're not looking behind them. You see, our reward for running the race and finishing it well is to receive the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The right to spend eternity with Him. Is that not your goal? Your goal is to spend eternity with the Father. But we're too busy getting the distraction. You know what? This cloth is hanging a little bit. Who put that up there this morning? It's just, I need to fix this. You see, oh, this chair is crooked over here. Let me fix this. It's a little bit, you know. We're too distracted.
Yes.
We need to focus.
Yes.
If we came in here and you know what? None of this electronics worked. We're still going to praise the Lord. Because that's what we came to do.
Amen.
You know what? I remember many back in the old days, they used to just...
Oh, yeah.
And they would just get their songs going. They didn't have all these electronics.
Amen.
The deacons would get up in front of the church, and even if they couldn't sing, they was up there. Mm-hmm. We need to stop being distracted.
Yeah.
We got to remember our past, mm-hmm. but not let it influence our future. You see, the verb Paul uses to deplete the runner from the arena, you see, he's bent forward. Where are we at? Did we miss a picture? Talk about electronics getting distracted. You see, but the control, the fact is that The runner is forward. He's looking straight ahead. His body is straining to win. God, through Paul, was moving past his past. He allowed the past to inform his present, but not control his future. A life controlled by the past is a life without the present.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, wow. Say that again.
How safe, let me ask you a question. How safe would you be trying to drive a car by looking in the rearview mirror only? You didn't look anywhere but in the rearview mirror. Listen, every car has a rearview mirror. But it also has a windshield. The windshield is larger than a rearview mirror. There's a reason for that. It's because when you're looking forward, you see a broader picture. You don't just see that little narrow picture that you see in the rearview mirror as you look in the mirror. This is a great reminder for us that we need to spend more time looking forward than looking backwards. You're a new creation. Don't let your past influence your future.
Yes.
If you get nothing else out of today's message, get that. You see, as we close the day, I just want to remind you that we are the sum of our past experiences. Mm-hmm. We know one thing for sure, that the past can't be changed. Anybody here can go back and change their past?
No.
You can't change your past. But by letting go of those painful and debilitating past events so that they can no longer control the present and free us in the future. Listen, all of us hold on to somebody that did something to us in the past. We need to let go.
Yeah.
Somebody back in our past that said that hurt us in some way. We need to let go.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I always tell you, that person that you in the past that you're sitting there, they're getting their blood pressure every time you think about it. Y'all know, Kamar, I'm not the only one in this place. There's somebody in your past that you're like, ooh, I'm going to get them, even if it takes me 50 years. Listen, let me tell you something. That person ain't thinking a thought about you. You in the hospital having a heart attack thinking about that person. That person probably don't even remember your name. Stop focusing on the past. Stop letting it influence your future. God has a better plan for you. But unless you allow him to use you, unless you remember the past but not dwell in it,
mm-hmm.
You got to let go of the past. We must remember our past no matter how ugly it is. Because if we don't, we have little or no hope of tomorrow.
Yes.
You may ask, why is that? Well, let me tell you why it is. Because it's in our past that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to the cross to redeem us of our sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's in our past. Mm-hmm. But he's our future. Just like the athlete who doesn't waste time looking around or looking back, Paul exerted his all-out effort to reach the finish line. And we must do the same. We must strive to reach the finish line. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this word. A reminder, Lord God, that we need to stop dwelling in the past. Stop remembering the things that people have done to hurt us, Lord God. The things that we've done to hurt other people, Lord, we need to repent and become a new creature in you, a new creation to be used by you. Lord, just strengthen us, Lord God, in our walk to help us keep our focus on you, Lord God, to remember that your one command is that we are to love you and then love our neighbors. And if we can just accomplish that, Lord God, what a mighty world we would live in, Lord.
Yes.
Father, so we just thank you and praise you. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.